I asked my father-in-law, Pastor Harnes, if he wouldn't mind preaching to us. I always enjoy hearing him preach, and I know that many of you have, hopefully all of you that have heard him, have all been very blessed as well. So I ask you to come at this time.
Well, it's good to be back at Berean Baptist Church and to be able to enjoy some time with our family and also have this opportunity to speak. Well, we are in the Christmas season where we remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as believers, we certainly want to keep our focus centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that Christmas, at least for me, it's two things. One is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, it's time to spend with your family and to enjoy fellowship together. The world, of course, has things all mixed up. They distort the purpose and the reason for Jesus Christ and his coming to the world. Matter of fact, much of the world is offended at the thought of having the mention of Jesus Christ at this time of year. But we're not offended whatsoever. Matter of fact, we want to purposely exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. And I'd like us to read verses 18 through 25. It's, of course, a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's likely been read in your church here a time or two during this season. And we read about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, we have the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ beginning at Abraham. And then it goes all the way to Joseph. And this is the genealogy of Joseph. You go to Luke chapter 2 and you have the genealogy of Mary. Both Joseph and Mary were descendants of King David. And both of them qualified or made Jesus qualified to be the one who would sit on the throne of David. Jesus Christ doubly had the authority to be there in the line of David. But we read in verse number 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you that we can, in sincerity and in truth, celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that, Lord, you'd bless as we consider what the Word of God has to say. I pray that you'd help me and give me the words to speak. I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and to understand the true meaning and purpose. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, the world has it all wrong when it comes to Christmas. They have, first of all, the meaning of Christmas as well as the purpose of Christmas all wrong. The world says this, that Christmas is for good boys and good girls. They say it's based upon merit. The very familiar jingle that is often sung, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, it says he's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. That's some of the words from that popular song. The world teaches that Christmas and what you get is based upon merit, whether you've been good or bad. Do you know the Bible teaches the exact opposite? The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ came not because we deserve salvation, because somehow we've merited it, but rather he came because we needed it. And so Jesus Christ came especially for sinners. Not for those who are good. Matter of fact, there are several verses in the Bible that I want to draw your attention to. The Bible tells us, for instance, Mark 2 and verse number 17, Jesus said this, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came for sinners, not for righteous people. In Luke 19 and verse 10, we're told this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Not for those who had found the way, but rather for those who are lost and out of the way. Then, of course, you're familiar with what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15, where he said that Christ Jesus is come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming to the world was to save sinners. And then as we read in our texture, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming was to save us from our sins. He came for sinners. And here is God's plan of redemption. Not to reward those who have been good, but to save those who've been bad. Jesus Christ came for sinners. It is not based upon merit. Somehow, if you've done enough or been good enough, you can have salvation. But rather, if we will trust Jesus Christ. And so we have here that Christ shows his grace to those who are unworthy. Now, none of us are worthy of salvation. None of us can do anything that would earn salvation. We simply receive it because we need it, because God freely offers it to us. If salvation were based upon works, we'd have to be perfect. In Matthew, it tells us, Jesus said, and be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. If we were to get salvation by our works, we'd have to be just as good as the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect. Never sinning once, always doing that which is right. But of course, all of us have sinned, and we've come short of the glory of God. And so the world gets it wrong in saying that Christmas should be based upon merit, upon whether you've been good or bad. And of course, the tradition is, the myth is, if you've been bad, you might just get a lump of coal. You might not find any presents under the tree. Now, another thing that the world does is this. The world substitutes Santa for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever considered that the world gives Santa the attributes that belong to Christ alone? For instance, they say that he is all-knowing. He knows whether you've been good or bad. Jesus Christ is the all-knowing one. He's the omniscient one. He knows the secrets of the heart. He knows our works. And furthermore, by virtue of Santa being every place on Christmas morning, by Christmas morning, he has to be omnipresent. Of course, Jesus Christ is the omnipresent one. Then, because he's the one that gives the gift, the world teaches that Santa is actually all-giving. This goes in contradiction of the scriptures. Look at James chapter 1, verse number 17. The book of James chapter 1, verse number 17. The Bible says here, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Here, every good gift comes from where? The Father of lights. It comes from above. It comes from God. It doesn't come from Santa Claus. He's not all-giving. The Lord Jesus Christ is all-giving. What has happened is this. The world's Santa has replaced Jesus Christ, by and large, at this time of year, giving him the attributes of Christ and giving him the adoration that belongs to Christ alone. Now, I hope that none of you parents have ever told your children the lie that what is under the tree is from Santa Claus. As parents, we purpose that we would always tell our children the truth, and we would not tell them lies. And Santa Claus, as far as being the giver of these gifts, is a lie. And of course, if you were told that as a child, you can probably remember the great disappointment when you learned that Santa Claus was not real. And you had been led all of these years to believe in this man who is not real. Now, as believers, we want to be biblically and historically accurate. We don't seek to be politically accurate. Now, as we think about that Christmas was made for sinners, it is interesting to look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, how that God uses sinners. Go back to Matthew chapter 1. And I want you to note, in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see that there were many notorious sinners. And it may be a puzzle to you. Why would God use such people? Why could God use such people as these sinners? For instance, if you look here at this line of Jesus Christ, you see here beginning at verse number 3, it says, and Judas begat Phares of Zerah, and Zerah of Tamar. Now, Judas, or in the Old Testament, it's Judah, he was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, but he was one who committed incest with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. Tamar was a Gentile. And so here we have an man guilty of incest. We have an idolater, Tamar. And then you have the product of that union, Phares. And he is in the line of Christ. And then if you go to verse number 5, you see, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Rahab, she's known as what? Rahab the harlot. Here's a woman who was a harlot. And yet God saved her. God transformed her and made her into a woman of faith. Matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, as we have the hall of faith, Rahab is listed in that group of people that were people of great faith. Note here that the son of Rahab was Boaz. Now, in the book of Ruth, we enjoy reading about Ruth and Boaz. And here this woman who had been this woman of ill repute, once the Lord saved her and transformed her, she raised a godly son. I don't think you could expect to have a godlier son than Boaz, a man of character, a man of true spirituality, especially in this time of spiritual darkness and apostasy in Israel. And then Boaz married Ruth. Now, Ruth was a Moabite. And what do you know about the Moabites? They were idolaters. And here God took a woman who was an idolater and made her a believer. She rejected the false gods of the Moabites and became a true believer in the God of Israel. And then you go down further, verse number 6, you see, and David the king. Now, David was a what? He was a godly king, but also he was an adulterer. And he put the wife or the husband of Uriah to death, Uriah. Now notice it says here, David the king, in verse number 7, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. That's Bathsheba. And so here God takes a adulterer, an adulteress, and a child that is born of this union, Solomon, and brings him into the line of Christ as well. And then you can go down further and you see that there's many different kings of Israel mentioned. But you go down to verse number 9 and you have Achaz, or that's also Ahaz. Ahaz was an evil king. And then you go to verse number 10. You see Ezekias, or that'd be Hezekiah, begat Manasseh, or Manasseh. Manasseh was the most wicked king that Israel had ever known. He made his children pass through the fire. He shed much innocent blood. He was an idolater. And yet in his old age, he did repent. And God used a very wicked man, a man who caused the judgment of God to fall upon Israel. And so you see, some of these bad people, even what we would consider some of the good people, such as Abraham, he was a man who sometimes stumbled in his faith and a man who told some lies. And then you can even see Mary, who's in the line of Christ. Now, nothing bad is said about her, but in Luke chapter 1 and verse 47, she says, I have rejoiced in God my Savior. What kind of person needs a Savior? A sinner. Mary, she was like all of us. She had sinned and needed to trust in God. She needed to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Now, what does this tell us about the line, the genealogy of Jesus Christ? All these, what we'd call bad people. Well, these bad people are actually a reflection of us. We are all sinners. They were sinners. And what it tells us is this: God can take a person who's a sinner, forgive them, save them, and transform their lives and make them into somebody that God can use. Now you may think, well, you know, I'm a sinner and I've really messed up bad. Could God ever do anything with me? The truth is, yes, God can do something with you. Just like he did with these people, God can take and use you. You may feel useless. You may feel that you're worth nothing. But in the sight of God, he has redeemed you, if you're saved, with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us his beloved. Now, should we be bad, therefore, so that God can use us? No, we shouldn't be bad so that God can use us. See, we don't have to be bad on purpose. We're bad enough just as we are. The Bible says that even from the womb we go astray, speaking lies. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What we do need to do is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he saves us, he purposes us to make us just like the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29, the Bible tells us that we are predestined. That is that we are predetermined by God before the foundation of the world to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. For every child that he receives, every child that he saves, he says, I'm going to make them like the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the physical characteristics, but these moral or spiritual characteristics. The thing of basically manifested in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, to be righteous, to be holy. And so when we think of Christmas, is it for bad people or good people? God designed it for bad people, for sinners. And then who gives us everything? Who knows everything? Who is all present? Why, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's not let the world steal the truth of Christmas from us, but rather let's focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you have never been saved, that's the whole reason why Christ came into the world, to save you. If you've never trusted Christ, he's ready and willing to save you now. Will you turn to him and find the forgiveness of sins? Find his cleansing. And then God wants to take and make something wonderful out of you. He wants to use you in a great and mighty way. Christmas was made for sinners. Sinners like Paul, who said, I am chief. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these thoughts from your word. I pray that now you'd help us to focus, especially on the Lord Jesus Christ, and rejoice in that you can take people like us who are sinners, who've broken your law, who are worthy of eternal judgment, and you can forgive us, and cleanse us, and use us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use each and every one here in a great and mighty way. Put within our hearts a desire to be used of you. Put within our hearts a desire to lift up and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask Pastor Vault to come.